It is time for a bonus episode of Coastal Currents. It's brought to you by Cocotat. They're awesome. Same with Bayside Garden Supply. Thanks to them and Solutions. They're great. And Dirty Business Soil Consulting. Soil does not go bad. So, probably should have done a better mic check. Please, Jennifer Savage, say something that goes into a microphone.
Hello, Mike. It's so great to be here.
It worked!
Yeah.
It's working.
It's like Coastal Currents Plus today.
Yes.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. You don't even have to be a subscriber, though, to get the full edition of Coastal Currents.
You just made me realize Google ruined the word plus.
Oh.
Like, Google... Anyway. Jen?
Yes?
We've got a full slate today.
We have so many people here.
Yeah, we really do.
Which is awesome. It's so much more interesting than just the same old you and me sitting here.
So, apparently there are wars about sand. We're going to get to that.
Yes,
apparently there's some Spartina down here, which is a nasty cordgrass.
There's wars against Spartina.
Wars against Spartina. We're going to wage these later. We're also going to talk about Troy Nicolini's thing, which I already forgot about.
It's okay. I don't have a war connection to make there.
Okay. All right. But let's start off with some
On ignorance, maybe.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Let's start off with the good news,
okay.
Which you can read about right now and see a fancy photo taken by Craig Spute over at khum.com, and it has to do with a stand-up paddleboard race.
The Trinidad to Little River Dash, specifically.
And we're finally allowed to talk about this.
Finally!
Yeah.
No longer a secret.
This is the fifth annual running of it, of this race, that goes from Trinidad to basically Moonstone, up the Little River a little bit. And we have with us here some very prestigious gentlemen.
Yeah, do you guys want to go around and introduce yourselves?
I'm James.
James.
Bavin.
Okay.
My name's Jason Self. I'm from Pacific Outfitters.
And I'm Hugh Holt.
Oh, Hugh Holt. Of all the people to not have a microphone on. Hugh Holt, try that again.
Hi, everybody. It's Hugh Holt here.
All right. We got Hugh Holt in the house, which is nice to have him back here. Have you been in the building before? You've been on the show.
Yep, it seemed like we came in the other side back then.
Yeah, it's been a while.
A lot of years.
You have some claims to fame, one of which is that you own a Braille Playboy that was given to you by Ray Charles.
This is true.
That's a great story.
Yeah, we don't have time for it here.
We certainly do not, and even if we did, probably wouldn't go there. But you've been around. When did you move to Humboldt, Hugh Holt?
1971.
Yeah?
Yep.
Why?
Oh, my brother bought a building supply in Trinidad, and he told me that it was only two blocks from the ocean.
And that's all it took?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
Okay.
And it was a job.
Right on. What were you doing? You fishing?
Selling hardware back then. Mm-hmm. But then I got into fishing shortly thereafter and fished for 30 years commercially.
Oh, wow. And then we've got James Bavin over here. You are one of the founders of the race. It's nice to have you back.
Thank you.
You're a nice guy.
Yep. You've been invited to the race many years and...
never gone?
Maybe next year.
Well, look, it's...
Wait, you're going to go this year, aren't you?
No, I'm out of town.
It says right here, Mike Dronkers will be announcing and broadcasting the race.
That's technically not true.
Live.
Yeah.
On air.
That's not... That's an old printout. That was changed, right?
Yes. That was changed.
Look, let's just put this on the table. We had this scheme to broadcast the race live from a boat, where we would figure out how to put our radio station in a boat and then drive around the ocean, because that's what you do on the ocean, is drive around on it, and make it work. But we could not technically get the redundancies that we kind of need to have, so we can't do it. I'm sad.
Wow. Technology fail.
Well, look... Radio on a boat, okay? There's one... Never mind.
But all kinds of boats have radios on them.
I understand that.
They call the Coast Guard. They check in on their loved ones.
My claim to fame, though, is that I'm the only radio person, I believe, in history to broadcast from a stand-up paddleboard.
Okay.
At the very least, I was the first to do it.
But not from this race, which is what we should be talking about.
Yeah.
Okay. So, back to that.
So, James, you've done all these races, right?
Yeah. Done four of them. Hugh came up with the idea, I guess, around 4 years ago, and got a bunch of buddies together and started talking about the course and went ahead and just made a date and did it. And it's been super fun every year. It's about 3 miles, and it's kind of just been an underground thing. Couldn't really open it up to everybody because, nobody really wanted to be responsible if something happened. So... kind of kept it amongst friends and some friends of friends.
Has anything ever happened?
Nothing bad. It's all been good.
I mean, we're talking about an open ocean race. Like, no matter what kind of craft you're on, that's going to have inherent risk. I do want to know about the exact moment that the idea was born.
Well, that was at Steve and Amy Monk's wedding reception, and we started talking about it. Actually, I had done the paddle by myself after Glenn Stockwell's memorial paddle out, and I had so much fun. We were talking about it over some champagne, and everybody said they were willing to do it, and fun's been had by all ever since.
Wait, this idea came up after the paddle out for Glenn?
Well, I actually paddled from... that was the first time I knew of anybody doing it. And I was on my paddleboard at the memorial. I decided to paddle to Moonstone.
As memorials go, though, I hate to point this out because everybody loves Glenn, but I love the part where his ashes actually blew back on a family member. And it was this horrifying moment where they're like scattering his ashes, and the wind turned right then, and it went on this person. And then I don't know who it was in the circle, but somebody yelled out, "Ain't nothing wrong with a little Glenn on you."
And also I remember Brock saying, like, everyone was having the moment of silence and teary, and then all of a sudden Brock says, like, "I owe Glenn Stockwell money." and so it's all kind of perfect, like that, you know.
I think
it encompasses the kind of the nature of the folks who are out there on the water a lot.
Definitely. Yeah. So you came up with this race. How many people were in the first running of it?
I think we had 25 the first year, and each year it's been around 20.
And is that just like word of mouth, like Coconut Wireless?
Well, it was. Kinda... Like James said, we kind of kept it in our hip pocket because it was just the bros doing it. And the first few years, there weren't a lot of paddle boards around, and certainly not race boards. But in the last 5 years, you know, you see a lot of race boards around. And this contest is open to surf class boards as well. And we have divisions breaking down it. 10 foot and under, 11 foot and under, 12 foot and under, and then onto the race boards.
For people unfamiliar with the way that these standard paddle boards work, is yes, it's enormous surfboards, but they're various. It's kind of like there are lots of bikes. You've got bikes that'll go on the mountain, and you've got bikes that'll go on the road, but the road bikes don't do well on the mountain and so forth. So you've got surfboards where you can ride waves, and then you've got these long, slick sort of 14 footers that you just acquired.
Yeah. And the interesting thing about this race is you're starting off in pretty calm water in Trinidad Bay and then going out open ocean where it does get kind of bouncy because the waves are bouncing off the rocks and coming back at you. And then you go through the surf zone. So it kind of takes just the right hybrid of a board to do everything right. Because,
right.
You know, a surfboard's going to do good at the very end, but is going to be slow, you know, the rest of the race. So...
Yeah, Matt Beard told us yesterday that was a big wild card. It's like if you can keep somebody on this race in your sights, if you can stay within 100 yards of them, and then they have bad wave selection at Moonstone, like you could easily take them out.
Yeah, well, that's been my strategy.
It's worked well for James each year.
The race boards, they look great, but they don't surf. You know, it's like surfing a canoe. You know, so
I like that you said take them out as opposed to just like advance ahead of them.
No, it's lethal. Yeah. It was very competitive.
You're just clotheslining them as you go by. Yeah. Right? That's what's happening.
Should this be somebody's first endeavor into the world of stand up?
Definitely not.
Okay.
Definitely not. It's 3 miles. So it's an accomplishment just doing that distance. So, you know, you got to be able to finish. Finishing is great, you know. Let's see.
Has anyone ever not finished?
No, everybody finished. Even last year, it got really foggy, and we counted all the heads. Everybody made it. But let's see. What was your question again?
I don't care.
If you've never been on a stand-up paddle, this is not the inaugural event.
Yeah, and you can be, you know, a novice paddler, but if you don't have experience in the surf, I wouldn't recommend it. The surf this weekend's going to – there might be head-high waves coming in. So if you're not – comfortable with that, I would say, you know,
start training for next year.
Exactly. And hope it's smaller next year. But but with that, you know, coming through the surf, it is at Moonstone. It's typically not super rippy there, and there's going to be a lot of people watching, and there's going to be people on boats and jet skis and communicating with people on land. So there's a lot of eyes out on it, and I might even paddle back out after I finish and keep an eye on people in the surf. So,
Let's talk about the finish line. It goes back up the little river a little ways.
Yeah.
So does that mean you pull your board out?
No. we have the race on a high tide, so you come in through the surf, and then the idea is to make it all the way up to the beach, through, you know, up into the river a little bit. The first year, the river was way to the south, and it was, you know, going right towards the beach house there. Last few years, it's been all the way to the north, and so that's kind of part of the strategy too, is like looking and being able to see where the deep water is, so your fin's not scraping at the end there,
and just making sure you come in where you can go up the river.
Right. Like, yeah, exactly. Yeah. So there'll be flags on the beach, and you should be able to see them
from offshore.
Yeah, you should be able to see them offshore before you get into the surf zone, and then head for that.
We've got that's James Bavin. We've got Jason Self, Jen Savage, Hugh Holt in the building. It's Coastal Currents. We're talking about this weekend's Trinidad to Little River Dash. It's a stand-up paddleboard race. It is the first year that we can kind of legally talk about it. It's been going on amongst the bros for a bit, and it's finally come into the light because Pacific Outfitters adopted it as a fiscal sponsor. And we'll get to that in a second in the future of it. But, Hugh, I wanted to ask you, what are the safety concerns? I guess waterman might not be the worst word to use. Like, you know your way around the ocean.
That's fair to say.
In terms of safety, what's your view of the course? What's your view of the odds of somebody encountering some kind of trouble? And what might that trouble look like?
Well, I think it's slim to nothing until you get into the surf. And then, of course, it's just any type of surf predicament you might encounter on a surfboard. You know, falling off, having the board hit you might be the worst thing. We require leashes on all the paddlers. Wetsuits are optional. Life jackets are optional. Providing you're tied to your board, we don't view it as a real dangerous activity.
In terms of like chase boats, are there helicopters standing by? Like what?
We have a jet ski who's been through Hawaiian rough water training, and he's CPR certified. We're also going to have a boat following everyone. So, and with this course, it's kind of a follow the leader deal. Nobody will get lost. You know, we're going to round the bell buoy and then head for Camel Rock. And it people stretch out pretty quickly after the start, so it kind of becomes dot to dot. And there's no opportunity for anyone to get lost or hurt on the course.
How long will people be on the course?
Well, I expect James will finish in about 26 minutes, but it's been anywhere from 30 minutes to an hour, according to what craft you're paddling. You know, soft tops are very slow boards to paddle, and we've had a few of those, so they typically finish in about an hour.
So 4 years, there's been 4 years of this going on.
Correct.
So far. So who's won?
Well, James has won. I've won. Paul Hasselquist raced last year on an unlimited division paddleboard, which is an 18-footer.
Garrett won.
Garrett has won. Garrett Rigdon.
There's no overarching champion.
I wouldn't say
it's
so.
It's still pretty competitive.
Well, and there's different classes. Uh-huh. So, you know, the different length board puts you in a different class.
Right, okay.
So I've won, but in my division, but then Paul was ultimately on the beach before me. So...
Okay.
You know, it depends how you look at it.
Yeah.
His board was like 18 foot and mine was like 12.
I'm just wondering what like the bloodlust is when you guys are out there.
You know, the competitive spirit kicks in as soon as I leave the beach.
Does it really?
Oh, yeah.
You do not strike me as a person who has one iota of competitive spirit.
I don't know where it comes from. Just it comes in, yeah.
I can assure you he's quite competitive.
You just go to like Hulk smash mode.
But it's a neat event. You know, we've done the Knoll contest for years, and that was super fun. Mostly just seeing people that you've seen through the years, you know. People coming from Oregon and Southern California and whatever.
Yeah, I always loved that feeling at the Knoll contest of, like, these are my people. And seeing, like, watching the kids grow up and,
yeah, exactly.
And the families out there together. And even if you don't participate in it, just the kind of crowd that it draws to watch and hang out. It's just such a nice time. Like,
right.
Even if you like the beach and the ocean and watching people out there, it's still, like, a really fun thing to go experience.
Yeah. For sure.
Speaking of the Knoll, we should mention Wren's going to put on a paddleboard contest the following weekend, the 16th. It's a little more advanced. It's a 7-mile open ocean paddle from Garce Reef to South Beach. And we'd like to give him a plug.
Yeah, we want to talk about stringing these up into a circuit. Again, Jason Self from Pacific Outfitters, he's got grand visions. For the course itself, for the stand-up paddleboard race course, you say you go around the bell buoy. And is there any demarcation? Do you float stuff? Or is it just like, get from here to there, go?
Yeah.
They just chalk a line.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we're spray paint the ocean.
I will go over the course when everybody's on the beach, gathered up, and, you know, point to the bell buoy and say, go around that. And then from there, it's you're focusing on outside of Camel Rock. There's no rocks in between those two points, so it's a pretty safe course. And then from there, you can see another rock. It's kind of the northernmost rock at Moonstone, and we're usually rounding that, or maybe on the inside of it too, on the north side of it. But you're just looking
at the baseline, is what I hear. It's not like in baseball, like where you got to stay in the baseline. Like you just
no, those are the only two points that we want people to stay out and around, because if you took off straight from the launch and went south, there's tons of rocks in there, and we don't want to lose sight of people. We want everybody to be kind of visual.
You must have done the math, by the way. You've won the race. How fast in miles per hour are you going? Is this walking speed? Is this running speed?
It's probably like a fast walker.
Well, probably six or seven miles an hour for the race boards. And then, of course, when you catch a wave, it's quite a bit faster.
Much, yeah. Jason Self?
Yes.
Pacific Outfitters, you guys jumped on this.
We did.
There was some talk of the race. Like, I know that the race had been growing year over year over year, and it just became this sort of unmanageable thing for volunteers without the sort of coin that you need for insurance. I'm sure the insurance is pretty expensive. There are limited slots available. Registration is still open. It is a walk-up event, though, so we expect a lot of people to sign up on site. There's 50 slots available. What happens if person 51 shows up?
If they gave us enough time, we would make it happen for sure. 51's no problem. 151 might be an issue.
This year?
This year, yes.
Because next couple of years, what's the plan?
Well, it's a series of ideas at this point, but my goal when I met these guys last year at the event, I went to cheer on our Pacific Outfitters SUP instructor, Tim Haywood. I just thought it was a really cool event. The vibe was very local, down home, and I just thought it was cool. And so we had chatted. I chatted a little bit with James on the beach after the event about our interest in helping grow the event and their challenges with covering liability, and it just seemed like a really good match. So my goal in the future is, actually my goal in general is just to grow paddle sports. And so stand-up paddling is a huge part of the growth in the industry right now. And I want to add kayaking to it. I want to add maybe a SUP and kayak surf tangent to the event. I want to add a beginner's race to make it all inclusive for everybody. And so there's a series of these events that happen up and down the West Coast. The Santa Cruz Paddle Festival is one of the big ones. And there's a big SUP race. There's kayak, wave ski, and surf, plastic kayak and SUP surf competition. And it's way bigger, but it's the same vibe. And that's what I'd really like to go with. But in the years to come, I would like to grow it and add in more paddle sports to that event and just include more people in general.
Is that the kind of, do people travel for races?
They do. People come from all over the world for Santa Cruz. It's a big event, and it's also part of a series, the Pacific Paddle Surf Series on the West Coast. So there's points given at these contests throughout the year, and then there's an overall winner announced of the West Coast Series. It's also qualifying for like the West Coast Kayak Surf Team and the U.S. Surf Team and that sort of thing. So joining up with those events and making it part of a series, I think will be huge for the growth of the event and also for promoting paddle sports in Humboldt in general.
Well, Humboldt Bay has Paddle Fest, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then
mm-hmm.
if Ren Knoll has his event up in Crescent City, mm-hmm. 1 week after the Trinidad to Little River Dash,
mm-hmm.
like, could you envision like a week full of cool SUP activities?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and, you know, it's the way that the Pacific Paddle Surf Series is set up now, it's over the course of a year. But I think, you know, having a series of events in a short amount of time in the North Coast area would be super cool, too. It's definitely something we're looking at.
Bring it on.
Yeah.
Bring it.
As much as we can.
Yeah. So the website is, I guess, through Pacific Outfitters. If people want to get registered for the race, is that where you're pointing them, James?
Yeah, sure. You know, signups can be at the beach at Moonstone. Is that where we're going to kind of take care of everything? And if the race starts at 4, maybe if you can get there 2:30-ish.
2 or 2:30. We're going to have shuttles for Moonstone so that your car will be at the finish. We're going to have a nice get-together at the beach house, Merriman's Beach House. Roast some oysters. We've got the sand fleas playing, and it's going to be a good time.
Good old beach party.
Yep.
And the Mother's Day thing is just because we were trying to get the race, you know, a weekend before or after Rin Knoll's race. So this weekend worked better with the tide rather than the weekend after his. And so we're kind of trying to group the races together so that people...
To be clear,
can make a vacation of it.
KM has a lot of listeners in Del Norte. We want to be clear that you, James Maven, are not saying that Rin Knoll hates mothers.
No, I did not say that. Did I say that?
That's not where you're going. And a fake controversy is born.
We can have our Mother's Day breakfast and make sure they get all their gifts and pampering, and then it's about racing. And the mothers can race. Hopefully there'll be lots of mothers there racing.
Has there ever been a female competitor?
Oh, yeah. There's okay. Been...
A number of regulars, yeah. Yeah. Each year we have ladies paddling with us, and we have, you know, a ladies' trophy or class. You know, there's actually this year there's women's race class and women's surf class. So if you can show up with a surf style board or a race board.
Is this a fun race to watch? And if so, how would I watch? Jason's nodding.
I only know because I watched last year.
Oh, okay. So what's it like to watch? Where'd you watch from?
You know, there was a gap from in between start and finish just because last year it was so foggy. But I started in Trinidad and cruised scenic down to Moonstone and kind of stayed with the people I could see. But definitely the finish line was fun. People, there's drama coming in through the surf. A little bit of carnage, not in a really bad way, but in a, like, oh my God, that guy just totally wiped out. That was awesome sort of way. So I would say, you know, Moonstone at the finish is usually the best, but starting line is pretty cool,
too. You could do both. You could watch, you could watch the beginning and get in your car and pull over on scenic and, you know.
If it's, you could probably, seems like a great opportunity to ride your bike around, too.
Oh, totally. Yeah, no doubt.
You know, up and down scenic drive, that'd be fun.
Here's a bad idea. That's what I'm good at, those. Okay, if somebody gets, I mean, somebody on a chase boat have, like, an iPhone, like, if you had, like, the Ustream app, you could actually stream video of the thing, and we could all watch it.
From the comfort of our couch.
Exactly.
Right. Good call, Mike.
Yeah, well, you know.
People, you might have gone outside. We want to make sure you stay at home.
You can't get up close to the action from Scenic Drive.
We are making a video, so I can promise you there will be footage after.
Okay.
But I don't see our cameraman holding the big camera and a cell phone at the same time and streaming.
Your cameraman needs to step his game up. That's what needs to happen. How hard can that be? Well, the race again is on Sunday, and it starts at 4 o'clock. It should last no more than an hour. If you're at the beach, Moonstone Beach, on Sunday night, you're going to see a whole lot of stuff happening around you, and hopefully this has given you a little bit of context of what that's going to be. It sounds like a fun event just to be at the finish line for. Finish lines are amazing places.
Super fun event.
Finish lines are always great. Like, you just see struggle and triumph. And in victory and pain, and it's just the whole spectrum of what being a human is about. And you see it all in these one little finish line areas.
That was beautiful, Mike.
Very poetic.
That was really
thanks,
nice.
Thanks, guys. Yeah. Thanks. You made it weird. But yeah, so Sunday, and then you got an after party at the beach house, which is so fun, from 6 to 8, music and booze and soggy people and athletes and good vibes.
Barbecue,
oysters.
Yeah. And people can register ahead of time.
PacificOutfitters.com
if people want to get registered. We got a couple of things to plug before we wrap up. Coastal Currents, which is the name of the show. I wrote it down.
Is that what we call it?
Yeah, I wrote it down.
It's hard to remember, so new and all. Yeah, so I wanted to make sure to mention that the Watershed Steward Program and Humboldt County Resource Conservation District is hosting the Salt River Invasive Pool. That's happening on Saturday from 10 to 2. So you get to go out there and pool Spartina. Who doesn't like pooling Spartina?
Oh, dude, have
it's
you pulled
super
Spartina?
Fun.
It is.
I live in Manila. Of course I've pulled
it's
Spartina.
It's so satisfying. Yeah. It's weirdly satisfying.
It's like positive destruction. How often do you get to experience that, right? Mm-hmm. You're just like, I get to rip stuff out of the ground and feel really good about it.
I've said it before, and I should stop saying, but it feels like popping a zit the right way.
Wow.
Like, I got it! Got you! You are not going to mar this face anymore.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you can meet at Firemen's Park. Rhett's right here in Ferndale. Transportation will be provided, but you should bring water to drink, mud, rain boots. The worksite is very muddy, so all the appropriate clothing for that sort of thing. Tools, gloves, refreshments provided. Again, that's Saturday, 10 o'clock, Fireman's Park. Yank out some Spartina, get dirty, feel good.
Also, Ocean Night.
Wait, we have one more before Ocean Night.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because this is Troy Nicolini.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've heard of him.
Warning Coordination Meteorologist. That's like a heavy-duty title.
He's a heavy-duty guy.
Warning Coordination. With NOAA, most KHUM listeners probably know Troy Nicolini. He will be speaking at an Explore North Coast event on Monday from 6 to 8 at the Aquatic Center. And it will also include a presentation by Chuck DeWitt about the Golden Rule, which is going back on the water on June 20th, which is really soon.
Top 10 coolest people in Humboldt County, Chuck DeWitt.
So, yes, you're going to have Troy Nicolini. You're going to have Chuck DeWitt. You're going to be here about how the moon and the sun cause tides and currents. Super cool, right?
That's got to be magic.
Yeah, exactly. Short lecture. Magic. And then he leaves. And Chuck DeWitt will be there to talk about the Golden Rule. So you can go to explorenorthcoast.net for more on that. That's on Monday. And then, of course, I hope people are just taking a lot of notes for all these events.
We'll put them up in the show notes, Jen.
Okay, thanks. Ocean Night. It's tomorrow night. I'm super excited. I'm always excited about Ocean Night. But this one, two amazing movies. So there's one called North of the Sun, which is these two guys who go to this island off the coast of northern Norway, and they build a cabin out of driftwood and just like live
they go feral. Yeah,
as they say. And the only things they really bring along with them are their surfboards and wetsuits, because there's a secret. The world has some really good waves there. Don't tell. But they made a movie about it, so yeah, it's supposed to be spectacular.
how many people got punched when that movie came out?
Well, how many? I don't know if Norway has like a strong localism scene.
Yeah, oh,
this little island off of Norway.
Yeah,
I don't know.
It's like there's some place that is safe from localism.
I don't know.
Dorn. Okay.
Okay. Also, and then we're showing Sand Wars, which is crazy. I didn't even know this was a thing, but they're sand mafias who plunder beaches and rivers, and the world's sand is actually disappearing. Like, we may have hit peak sand. Sand could be going away. Yeah. So what's going to happen with this sand rush, Mike? Come and find out at Ocean Night tomorrow at the ATL.
I love your anti-pitch. It's your event, Jen. All right. Well, James Babin, always a pleasure.
Thanks. Thanks for having us.
Yeah,
Thanks, Jen.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mike.
Jason Self, always a pleasure. I'll see you around. Jen Savage, I will see you around. You make good quesadillas.
Thanks.
Hugh Holt. A true honor to have you back here.
It's been a pleasure, Mike. Thanks for having us.
Pleasure is all ours. It's KHUM Radio Without the Rules, and we will be right back.